So I'd like to invite you to turn with me to just a few verses in the third letter of John as we consider really what's the heart of the letter, what's the meat, if you will, of the letter as he was writing to Gaius, as he calls him my dear friend or my beloved Gaius. And then the ninth verses, in the ninth and the tenth, he gets down to why actually he wrote. He says, I wrote to the church. Some have said, perhaps this is not just the third letter, but perhaps there was another letter that hasn't made it into the canon. Where most say, well, this is likely the letter. But he's saying as well that he didn't write just to Gaius. He wrote to the whole church. But Atrophies, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. So here ends the reading of God's word for us today. Thanks be to God. Well, sometimes confrontation, sometimes even conflict cannot be avoided, can it? We know that as well as perhaps any other truth. The more we try to ignore some conflict that's brewing, the worse it gets. I mean, you think about that in your own marriages, if you're married. Someone once said to us, Robin and I, his counsel, I'll never forget it. She was one of the campus police where I attended seminary, and the police chief told her, told us, the first thing he gave us was knives. He and his wife gave us a set of knives that we still have to this day. The second thing he said, though, was don't let the night go down on an argument. So I wonder if the knives and the argument have something in common. That's just a joke. So my big idea, I guess I want to look at with you or think about with you is as much as we hate it, sometimes conflict and confrontation of such conflict, the root of it, can't be avoided. There was a person John had known of, Diotrephes here, who was what some have called a church bully. Anybody ever hear or know even of such a person? Church bullies? I mean, they're not that unusual. You may not have heard that exact term, but you know them when you see them, right? Everything had to go his way. It seems John, here he says, loves to be first, Diotrephes loves. And he's not even going to have anything to do with John himself, one of the very apostles, if not the last of the apostles. He drew attention to himself for taking credit for all the successes that were happening in church. And you know, the church was growing at this time at an incredible rate. People who had no meaning in their lives from the pagan worship that they had been pursuing. They found in Christianity a meaning which was beyond anything that they could imagine for their lives. Remember how Paul tells us that? More than you can ask or imagine will be given to you. So, this is then the heart of John's letter. The problem with Diotrephes, who was ruining the church that Gaius was a part of. Maybe one way to get into this is just to imagine with me how it might have been as the apostles and the other first believers, that first generation of believers, started dying in the early church. This was a period, even though that first generation was dying, when, as I pointed out, it was growing almost astronomically. People were coming to the Lord who you would never have thought of as desiring to come. Even those who were from the, as the scripture tells us, the household of the emperor were coming to Christ. John himself is by this time a very old man. He calls himself the elder, for he certainly was the elder. It may also have been a reference to a title by this time in the church, but he was certainly probably somewhere near plus or minus 90 years old. Kind of reminds me, it's not impossible for that to be so back in John's era. We have records of people like one guy was by the name of Pliny, or Pliny, as some pronounce it, a Latin philosopher who was about this age. Of course, his son had the great name of Pliny the Younger. So there you have it. Reminds me, really, of my father, who, 90 years old, hasn't retired yet. You know, the other day I was there visiting him in between doctor's visits, and he had all these papers spread out on our kitchen table, which my mother always is on him about, he's looking at the plans for the Tappan Zee Bridge that he's working on. He enjoys it. It's like a puzzle to him to figure these things out. And in the same way, John is continuing in the service of the church. Even though he's like 90 years old, who knows how physically fit John was, but he was certainly, was he not, spiritually fit. And this guy, Diotrephes, well, he's like, John, I want you to get out of the way so I can get in the way. And so this is sort of what's happening in the second generation. In the second generation, as they saw the first generation of Christians passing away, there were those who wanted to get in the way themselves, to take over some of the authority that they saw the apostles and the early disciples had because of their walk with Jesus, to take over some of that that they saw that they have. In fact, this is exactly what Diotrephes was about. He loved to be first. He loved to be first so much that it says, John writes, he won't have anything even to do with me. And in fact, for those who are coming with the gospel, he's turning them away. He won't even have anything to do with common hospitality to welcome those who are coming. And he's furthermore saying to those who would welcome them into their homes, I'm going to excommunicate you from the church. You know, I've heard that we have had revivals at Grace here before. Anybody remember the lay witness missions that are held, that have been held here? And you know how they were held, and people would stay in your homes. I remember a lay witness mission in my home church at Fritz. And I remember so clearly as I came to the altar at the an altar call that was given that Sunday, my father coming up behind me, weeping, because he wanted to give his life to Christ more fully. Think of the spiritual power that's unleashed if we'll just allow that to be unleashed by the Holy Spirit. Think of what God has in store for us. But there are always, it seems, these diatrophies who want to be first, who want to have all the credit. Let's face it, this has always been a problem in the church. Sometimes it just creeps in on us, doesn't it? The best leaders can, almost as if a satanic power has taken them over, become slowly but surely hindering rather than furthering God's working in the church. I can't quite understand it to this day, but one of the strangest things that I've ever experienced was I served a church once where the pastor before me, who was said to be a great pastor, people loved him. He could almost do no wrong in some of their eyes. And yet that pastor now is in prison for murdering not only his wife there, but the weirdest thing is he murdered his wife at a church. He murdered his wife at a church that my wife served in Lebanon. Now that just tells you how Satan can get a hold of all of us, of even the best leaders. And maybe that's what Diotrephes started out as. But he loved to be first, and so had nothing to do. Anyone who, I would say, as a word of warning, will not be under authority is one to stay away from. We all need to be under authority. We're having our charge conference this afternoon. Man, I've been writing all these reports. I'm using my right hand. I'm lefty. But I hate those reports. But I do them because I'm under authority. I'm under accountability to someone else. And Diotrephes, he refused to be under authority to John. Diotrephes, furthermore, was undermining John's and other leadership. Beginning with, get this, what did he begin with? Gossip. It's called in the scriptures here, malicious gossip. Someone pointed out that that word most often means to babble without meaning. You know, sort of like a baby babbling without meaning. It's characteristic, I think, of those whose main concern is for their own personal aggrandizement of some whatever they think power they can hold. That gossip is loved by them as a way of undermining anyone else who has something else good to offer to Christ. I'm sure you've seen that. Notice John doesn't call out Diotrephes for false teaching. In the first and second letters, that's been his principal concern, was a false teaching about who Jesus was. The false teacher said, fully man and only. Or else they said he was fully God and only. But of course, Christian teaching in the Bible is that he was both fully God and fully man. And as such, died for our sins. And as such, then was able to take away our sins fully and not in part. But Diotrephes is called out not for false teaching, but for this spirit of wanting to be first and undermining anyone else he thought was a threat. This went on even so far as to refuse to extend the basics of hospitality to those who he thought were a threat to him. Pushing them out of the church before they could even become part of the church. You know, it's sad to say that this spirit can exist among us even to today. How many people do you think have been pushed out of a church that they came to visit and tried to become a part of, but found that there was no way in to that church because there was someone who was guarding the door against them. Someone who saw them as a threat because they were new and things might change. David Jackman comments, "Too many congregations have been held in the grip of petty tyrants for us to regard as the Diotrephes among us." His agenda was, even if he didn't recognize it, all about him. Destroying unity, flaunting authority, making up his own rules to safeguard his position, spreading lies about those whom he had thought of as his enemies, cutting off other Christians even on suspicion of their guilt by association with these new people. And you know, the list could probably go on and on. This is what happens, Jackman said, when someone who loves to be first decides to use the church to satisfy their inner longing for a position. For themselves. There are churches today which are in the pocket of one person, he went on to observe. And I've seen this, of one family dynasty. Nothing can happen without the approval of Mr. or Mrs. because it's their church. Have you ever seen a church like that? Known a church where nothing can go forward because that whoever it is by name, but they're always the same. Diotrephes. Is their church. The Holy Spirit, Jackman concluded, has long ago been drummed out of office in a church like that, where Diotrephes rules. There is only one, isn't there, brothers and sisters? There's only one who can have the place of preeminence in our church. And that is her head, Jesus Christ, the Lord. The true Christian leader. All of us are the ones whose life reflects John the Baptist. Remember what he said? He said to his disciples, even at the cost of losing them entirely. And he did. But he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Follow him." He said, "He must become greater, and I lesser." Whenever, wherever something different is happening, someone different arising, a confrontation must occur. For our Lord's rule, our Lord's reign is at stake. Whether it be this church, another, a denomination, none can say they are the head of the church than Jesus Christ, the righteous.